talking for the last 3 weeks. This is the fourth week. Although last week I did a spontaneous message on where I thought we were at prophetically in our church, in the region, in the nation. If you're interested in that, there's several ways you can listen to it. YouTube, the website, podcast. You can start at the website and it'll direct you. Just go to the resources and audio messages. Humility is a concept that does not fit American churches and American people. Charles Swindoll, which is a very, very popular writer, teacher, he said this: if I were to boil down all the characteristics of greatness to a single word, it would be humility. Humility is a word, I just don't hear it taught much. And in our American culture, the whole, it's all about becoming famous, becoming known, getting the likes, and self-promotion. Have you promoted yourself? Have you put yourself here, put yourself there? I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong, but you look at Jesus Christ, who at the end of Philippians 2, after he came out of the grave, he said the Father promoted him so that every knee would bow at his name. Every name. His name was higher than every name. He never promoted himself. Many times when he healed, he said, don't go tell anybody. His avenue to promotion was following the will of God. It says in Philippians 2, at the beginning, it says he humbled himself, took on the form of man, which was a humbling thing when you were God, being limited to the form of two hands, 2 feet, eyes, 5 senses. He still had the Holy Spirit inside of him, but he humbled himself to that. To us, he created us. He became what he created. That's a big deal. And then he suffered by his very creation when they crucified him to the cross, betrayed him, rejected him, sold him for 12 pieces of silver. His only thing was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before the trial, and right before the going to the cross, he said, Father, if it be your will, take this thing from me. Now, I know this is so strange. We spent 3 weeks, we've talked about Christian examples of people humbling themselves, which is basically just following the will of God. Saying, Father, I give up my will, I'm going to follow your will. And we all struggle with this daily. Sometimes, every 2 to 3 years, a big thing comes along that's going to cost us. And it's going to be a sacrifice. The path, and we've gone over some of these, and we'll review some of these verses real quick as we summarize. Humility is a godly thing that does not make sense. If I'm going to get ahead, I'm going to have to promote myself. If I'm going to get more of God, I've got to beg. If I'm, whatever it is, we looked at studies on in the Bible of humility, but we also looked at studies with CEOs. You may remember, I don't remember the guy's name right now. He did a study of corporations that lasted. The ones that lasted had CEOs who walked in humility, but it gave them confidence. So what are you saying, Craig? I'm saying every one of you have a destiny over your life. Every one of you have a We come into the earth asking 3 questions. Who am I? What am I to do? And where am I going? I don't care if you're an atheist, an agnostic, a Hinduist, or Christians. It's built into you. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? You will only get those answered not by trying to find the answers, but to sit back and go, I am going to get to know the Father. And as you move into the Father's presence, He starts telling you why you're created. And I'm here to tell you, every one of you in this room have a destiny on your life. And you were created. It says He knew you before the foundation of the world. That means your spirit somehow or another was there, or He knew about you, or you were predestined. You pick your theology. But He knew about you. You are not an accident. There is no accidents in this room. And He said, I was born on April the 17th, 1960, a long time ago. You can do the math for those of you who can figure it out. Huh? Old as dirt. He said, Craig needed to come into the earth at that time. I needed him there. And he'll find his destiny when he finds me. And then when he finds me and starts learning to hear my voice, Romans 8:14 says, those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The first thing we should start happening when we get saved is to start hearing the Spirit of God. It's given to us as a gift. And we start hearing the Spirit of God. And then when you're in His presence, He goes, this is why I was created for. Now, if you're following God later in life, you go, well, I haven't been doing that. He goes, that's all right. We'll get you there. Well, I like doing what I do. I know you like it, but you're going to like this even better. But I can't see that now. And it becomes a trust relationship. Do I trust God to get that He knows me better, how I was created, than I know how I'm created? And even in a group this size, which is not very big, there's going to be some people struggling. Okay, I've been in God's presence. I'm hearing speaking, but I don't want to go that route. I mean, we face this decision all the time. Humility is this. I'm going to pick God's way over my way. And then when you pick it, you don't try to promote it. You don't try to make it happen. If he destined you to go in this direction, He's going to promote you and put you there. Just like Jesus Christ. I'm going to do a 30-second prayer. And if anybody in here, and then we'll go back to teaching. If anybody in here is struggling with giving everything you have to the Lord, that's the first step of humility, is saying His will, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. His will, not mine. Until you say His will, not mine, you will never come to a place of rest. And you will never inherit fully your destiny. You can try all you want. You can do all that you want. But I'm telling you, the most freedom there is to say, yes, Lord. And that's humility. And then when you say, yes, Lord, you don't have to promote yourself like most Americans do. It used to be in America, humility was taught. Now it's taught, okay, bring everybody to you. Be the center of everything. Get the most likes. Get the most newspaper articles or whatever it is. It's ungodly, because if you're walking with God, what you do is you walk with Him, say yes to His will, and then you say, Father, I'll receive whatever you want to give. And then when it happens, you realize, He made this thing happen. And so, Father, I just pray for anybody here. It may not be anybody, it may be 10 people that have never fully said, Your will, not my will. I pray today, Holy Spirit, You are the one that brings them to this place and seals it. And I say right now, I just pray you bring people to You to see the best place is to say Your will and not my will. It doesn't mean it's easy, but in the end, it's the most freeing and it's the most destined. And I pray if there's anybody here struggling, that You'll help them to come along and say, I die to my own desires and ambitions and pray for Yours in Jesus' name. Now, humility, we've gone over several of these, but the Bible is amazing. I don't know if I had really seen all of these until I started studying it, and I just put some of these up here. Strength. O Lord, You have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline Your ear for strength. Here's one about God dwelling in you, Isaiah 57:15. For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. If you don't feel God's close to you, just say, Father, just slow yourself down and say, Father, I love You. I'm Yours. You're mine. That's humility. You're acknowledging something's bigger than you. The grace of God, which is His favor. How many of you just need grace? Father, I just need favor. I just need this. I'm struggling here. This thing isn't happening. Proverbs 3:34, He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. Shift and start going, Father, I cannot do this without you. I need you to do this within me. Live that way. We've talked about promotion quite a bit. Luke 14:11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, what does that mean, everyone who humbles himself? You know, the Bible says you humble yourself. It's intentional. Wake up in the morning. We're going to talk about one technique in a minute about being grateful. But wake up every morning and go, Father, I'm yours. I want to do your will. That's humbling yourself. Instead of, you can say, I want to make a destiny. I want to do what you want me to do. But wake up and say, Father, I want to do what you want me to do. You'll be amazed at where you end up and where you go. Wisdom, Proverbs 11:2. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. What does that mean? Say, Father, I need some help. I don't know it all. Or if you know how to do everything you're going to do that day, say, Father, I thank you that I know everything I had to do today. You've shown me, but I want to even do it better. Let me go beyond. Honor. See, that's really what we're seeking when we're getting famous. We're trying to get respect. We're trying to get honor. It just does not last. You can look at the news and see who's popular now. In 30 days, a lot of them, people's going to go, who was that? The best honor is to be known by the Father. He'll know your name. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Let me do one more. Great deeds. Which verse did I put up there? Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Now, this is one of the strange things in life. People go, I do not want to become a Christian because it's boring and dull. Now, you know why they say that? Because they've never been taught to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow Him. Let me tell you, when I started shifting into this gear, it scares you to death. Because He always takes you someplace that's humanly impossible. Because He wants to be a partner with you, the senior partner. You do your part as a human, and He'll do His part. But it's scary because if He doesn't do His part, it's going to be a mess. But if you're listening to Him and you do what He's asked you to do, it'll scare you to death. I'm not saying it won't. But when you get on the other side and He comes soon, you go, now that was pretty cool. That was pretty neat. I don't want to do that right again, but that was good. I can tell you now at 61, if you hadn't figured out the math, at 61, when I was 21, I would have never thought my life would have looked like it did the last 40 years. There were some general patterns. I knew I was supposed to start a church, be a senior pastor, do a few other things. I had no idea of a software designer, which I do to pay the bills. You know why? There was no software to design 40 years ago, unless you were a mainframe programmer with cards or on an archaic green terminal in a special building. Now I write software that runs all over the internet and do it remotely from my desk. You just press a button and it's all the way around the world changed. Nobody. It's just like, dude, what's wrong with you, man? You would have never thought that. I would have never thought I would have been able to go to all the countries that I wanted to go. I didn't even know I wanted to go to countries. And the Lord starts bringing me, well, why don't you go back down here, go do this? I don't know. Now I love doing it. It was in my heart, didn't even know it. He reveals what was in your spiritual DNA that was in there from the fetus, but because of the world, not being able to hear Him, different things. So whenever somebody says it's boring, you immediately go, they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. It is never boring. It's scary. But it's a good scary. It's like being at the top of a roller coaster. You know how you go up on that roller coaster, tension starts building, and you get to the top, and you look down, and you go, Can I get off now? You're looking for the little side rails trying to figure. It's not always that way, but how many of you know it's that way sometimes? Now, you're going to Norway soon. Is this something you're just totally cool with or scared, or is it? Cool. All right. I challenge you. That's probably going to be the easiest part in the whole thing. But it's cool. She's fixing to go on an adventure, go to YRAM, right? Yeah, I always think DTS. That's what they call the discipleship training school. And so, for 9 months. Cool adventure. 3 years ago, do you think you'd be doing that anywhere? You might have thought it might have happened in Chatsworth. But a third of the way around the world, not quite a third, a fourth of the way around the world in Norway. How many of you have been there? I'm telling you, it's the funnest thing, and you'll look back over your life. You know what the number one regret is from studies of people in senior citizens' homes, you know, at the end of their life? This is not a Christian thing. This is a secular thing. There's been many studies. You know what the number one regret is? Any takers? Didn't travel. That's a good one, but that wasn't it, huh? That's it. Which is similar. The risk, they said, I wish I had risked more. See, the Spirit comes in. Stay where you're at. Don't give in to God. It's okay. May not be great, but it's okay. Go for the comfort factor. Paul said at the end of his life, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I've run the race before me. Now it's time to go home. He knew he had done everything that he was put on earth for. Now that's a knowing. God doesn't give you the whole list of what you were put on the earth for, but he'll give it to you. You know, you need to go to Norway. Don't tell him what you're going to do after that. What if you meet a Norwegian guy over there and fall in love? That was not God. That was just Craig speaking. There was no prophecy there. I'm telling you. And so he'll tell you the next thing, and then you look back over your life and go, wow, this was better than I could have ever done. Now, how does all this tie into humility? Humility is listening closely to the Lord and saying, thy will, not mine. And then as you follow each little step, he hardly ever gives you step three. He usually just gives you step one, maybe step two, if he has mercy on you. Hardly ever step three. Why? Because if you went straight to step three, you'd be freaked out. No way, man. But step one and step two get you ready for step three. Just follow his, and you'll get there, and he'll make sure you have the resources and people, money, education, whatever it is. I'm telling you, you can trust God. Humility is a principle put into the earth that applies whether you're a Christian or not. We've talked about this in the weeks following. You know, there are natural principles in the earth. Gravity. You don't have to be a Christian to believe in gravity. It's a natural principle. It works whether you want it or not. You can go to the tallest building in Dalton, which is not very tall. You can go to the tall, I think it's like 5 stories is the biggest building. You can go to the tallest building and go, there is no gravity. I do not believe in gravity. And jump off. By the time you hit, you will believe in gravity. And there are spiritual principles, and humility is one of these. I don't know how God works it out with non-believers, but when you walk in humility, preferring others, not walking in pride, but getting the ideas from God if you're a Christian, it promotes you, as we saw with the CEOs. And it gives you confidence. Now, there's a video on the Chrome tab. Chad sent me this video. It's about 3 minutes from LinkedIn, and it's showing this principle on the basketball court. And I thought it was great. If it's still up there on the Google thing, bring that up and play it. And so that was a TED Talk. If you know TED Talk, those are secular talks that they do for business leaders and whoever else wants to go. But I really thought that was interesting. It's a universal principle. The confidence for a Christian is when you humble yourself and say, Father, I'm going to do your will. And he starts saying, I want you to go here or do that or be this or be that. You know it's going to happen. Why? Because it was his idea. And it gives you confidence. And when things start not working out, you start going, okay, Father, I didn't make this thing up. Many years ago, we've been here for 25 years. Many years ago, and we've only missed a lease payment once. Church is doing real well now, and it's not a problem. But many years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, it looked like we were going to miss a second payment. And we made it up like a week later. We're not talking like a big deal, but I was like, okay, Lord, this was not my idea to come to Dalton, Georgia and start this church. It's not my idea to start this kind of church. If you want this church to keep going, you're going to have to pay the bills, and I ain't striving because I heard from you. And that one time was the only time we were late, and it was maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks after a decade. You know, when you get 61, your mind starts going. That's what they say. And so, but confidence is there. It's the Lord's will. Either he shows up, you do your part, and he does your part. Now, let me give you a technique that will help keep you humble and calls him to, it just flows him up. It opens you up for him to flow through you more. Humility is all about getting to a place of where he can flow through you. Pride is the number one stopper of him flowing. Pride is why the devil got kicked out of heaven. Pride is why Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Pride is the root of all sins. I know best. And so if we go to the other way and say, Father, thy will, not my will, it causes him to want to move through you even more. I mean, he wants to move through you, but it causes him to have the ability to flow through him even more. This is it. So it says, humble yourself. We've talked about that a lot one Sunday. The best practical application of this is be intentionally grateful. What do I mean by intentionally? Make a plan. What do you mean make a plan? Do this. Every morning when you wake up, just put a little index card on your mirror or sticky or put it in your wallet or put it on your car if you got a long commute. Thank the Lord for three things today. Yeah, but I'm believing for this. Okay, we'll believe for that. But thank him for these three things. Every morning, be intentionally grateful. Pick three things. It can be the same three things all week, or it can be a different three things every morning. It says in Ephesians 5:20, and you give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Well, I don't feel like being thankful. Okay, you need to do it even more. When I don't feel like being thankful, I'll do it even more. Get up and say, Father, I thank you that I have a job today. Well, I hate my job. Would you rather not have a job with no money or the job you hate? Well, yeah, I want to keep my house. Father, I thank you for my job today. I thank you that you, and just start thanking them. If you're in a tough relationship, say with your spouse, say, Father, I thank you for my spouse. I thank you that you're going to work all things out for the good of the Father. I'm not saying it won't change. I'm not saying, but you be thankful. How many of you have kids in here? How many of you appreciated it when your kids came up to you and go, you know, I really like this house, but this is what I really want. You know that car you gave me? Eh, it's okay, but it doesn't have heated cup holders. You know, they make cars with heated and cooled cup holders now. You think I'm kidding? They do. Go get a Mercedes. They got them in there. Me? Thank God I got cup holders. Just start thanking God for whatever it is. I'm telling you, when you start thanking him, it's being humble. It's being grateful. It will change your whole perspective on the day. And you can still keep praying for a better job. You can still keep praying for cooled cup holders, if that's your thing. But you just thank God for what it is. It starts opening up in your life a channel for him to flow through that you'll be amazed. And after three, you're still not getting it, or you're depressed or discouraged, go on to four and five. I'm telling you, it will change your life. It's a point of humility because you're accepting where you're at. But what happens is, when you accept where you're at and you're grateful, he starts going, hey, that's the kid that goes, man, that was a great present that you gave me for my birthday. You know, he's like 5 years old. And you're thinking, just wait till the next one. Because they're so grateful for what they gave you. Or if they come up to you and go, man, that was a terrible present. And you're going, yeah, wait till next year. You're not getting anything, little bud. And it's just, I'm not saying the father's that way. But you start doing it, it opens up a channel inside of you that just produces peace, joy. Not that we're doing it to get things, but it'll change. It just creates an atmosphere around you. So be intentionally grateful. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I want to close here. But in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20, you can go back and read it. It starts out with this, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your fathers. What's the condition here? Be careful to follow every command. Listen closely to the Holy Spirit and follow it. And then he goes on and reminds them. Remember how the Lord your God led you in the desert for 40 years? He gave you manna. Your clothes did not wear out in verse 4. Again in verse 6, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For now, you're going into a different land. They're going from the desert to the promised land. A good land, a land with streams, pools, water, springs, valleys, on and on, honey, barley, stuff that we don't really care about today, vines, fig trees. How many of you think you've arrived if you've got a fig tree in your front yard? It's a little different today. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. He goes on and on. Now, in verse 10, he says, when you have been eaten and satisfied, this is the test of prosperity. In many ways, it's harder to be humble and it's harder to be grateful when every need's met. Now, how many of you, probably in this room in America, every need's met? Maybe not. There might be some people struggling with some stuff, bills or stuff. Now, I didn't say every won't. I didn't say the cooled cup holders. The test of prosperity is even harder than the test of poverty. The test of poverty, you know you need something, and you cry out to God. But when you're well, listen to what he says. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Verse 14, then your heart, if you do... Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, beware, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. Be intentionally grateful. Wake up every day. Father, thank you I have 48 sheep in the backyard. You know I'm doing a metaphor here. But thank you, Lord. Be intentionally, the better off you are, be the more thankful. Because really it comes down to, we're just receiving what he's given us. Verse 17, if you're not careful in prosperity, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. And we'll close with verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. Let me give you an example. I've heard Rick Joyner say this example many times. Rick Joyner is the president of Morningstar Ministries, senior leader or whatever you want to call him. He shared it again this week, and I heard it again this week. He said, I was going to learn to be intentionally grateful. He said, I had COVID about I don't know, several months ago. I don't remember. He said it was the best time of his life. He said he would do it all again. I was like, everybody's going, what? This dude's weird. He said, I came out of that more excited than I'd ever been. Now, he said physically, it was the most pain he had ever been in his life. He said for 3 days he was in excruciating pain. But he said, I was resolved during those 3 days to go, Father, thank you for what I'm going through. Thank you that I'm going to exit this thing stronger. Thank you for whatever you bring me, I'm going to still follow you. He said no matter how the pain was, he would just thank God even more. Now, he was real clear. He said, God didn't bring this COVID. God's not causing this COVID. But for some reason, I'm going through this COVID, and I didn't get healed. And I'm just going to thank God for everything in my life. He said on the third day, right at the end, he was transported into heaven. And he said he was at the sea of glass at the throne. He was looking sideways at the Father. And the Father had his head kneeled down, like he was being sad. And he said the whole throne room, they all had their heads kneeled down. And they were sad. It looked like he was sad. And all of a sudden he realized Jesus was standing beside him. And Jesus said, it's not like what you think it is. He said, the Father is crying. He said, I've just received a gift for the last 3 days. And it has moved my heart. That somebody would follow me no matter what happened. Wow. We can move the Father's heart through gratefulness and being intentionally thankful that we're His sons and we trust Him in whatever happens. Let's pray. Father, we just today, we thank you for what you've given us. We thank you knowing we can trust you with everything. That we can trust you with our future. You will redeem our past where it needs to be redeemed. You will rescue our present. And we say today, thy will be done, not my will. And Lord, wherever we self-promote, show us. Because we want all glory to come to you. We know you share your glory with us, but we want you to share it. We don't want to take it. And we say today, our life, our hands, our feet, our mind, our soul, our emotions is yours for the glory of the Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want me to...